It is good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God and work on putting it to practice in our lives. That's very important. Enjoy the song service and prayer should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we'll continue to pray for the family and the preacher that lost his life last Sunday. And we'll pray for the family at Greenwood Park. The preacher, his wife was driving, they had an accident, he didn't make it. So, but thank God they're Christians, and that means a lot. And we'll just pray for them. I want to look at this morning, look at the Apostle Paul's attitude towards opportunity. Opportunity. 1 Corinthians 16, 7 through 9 is where I'll begin reading as we look at his attitude towards opportunity. And we know the context dealing with giving, and there were brethren who were in need in other places, and the Corinthians took up money and gave to those needy saints in Jerusalem. And as Paul continued to work with brethren and help them with their needs and all of that, and when there were opportunities, he took the opportunity to help whoever that he could help. But I want to look at verses 7 and through 9, 1 Corinthians 16. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, talking to the Corinthians, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. And of course, Pentecost was one of the Jewish national feasts. And so Paul would take, as another opportunity, he would take that opportunity whenever a crowd of people were around. Paul would try to be there, so that gave him an opportunity to preach the gospel. Okay? So Pentecost, you see that several times in the Bible. But look at verse 9. For a great and effective door was opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And so we're not going to let adversaries discourage us from continuing to do God's will and preach the gospel. But as much as Paul wanted to, as we have read those scriptures, verse 9, 7 through 9, as much as Paul wanted to see these brethren, and as much as he needed to see them, he needed to see these brethren. He would tarry yet at Ephesus, we see, for he had an opportunity he did not want to turn down. There was an opportunity there at Ephesus that he did not want to turn down. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. As we read that, and let's just look at that again. Verse 8, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. He said, I'm going to have to stay here. I see a good opportunity for preaching the gospel and perhaps saving the souls of men, and I need to just stay here until Pentecost. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So we can see there. Now, the idea of an open door is a figure of speech. That is a figure of speech, we know, showing that he had a great opportunity to do some, to do something good. And we know that even Jesus went about doing good. Paul went about, after he obeyed the gospel and doing good. The door is, this open door as we see here, is used in another place indicating opportunity. The door is open, there's an opportunity for Paul to do a good work there. In Acts chapter 14 and 27, let's look at Acts, because we see these opportunities in the New Testament, doors being open. And in Acts 14 and verse 27, Acts 14 and verse 27, just dealing with Paul and Barnabas had an opportunity here. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door. There it is. There's an opportunity there. Opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So we can see here that Paul and Barnabas were eager. They were eager to tell what God had done through them. And so what we need to do, what every child of God need to do, we need to let God work through us. We got to let God use us. That's the way he gets his work done, by us, by disciples. Don't have to be necessarily be a preacher to let God use you. Because there's times we have opportunities at work when there's an opportunity. We have to be careful about teaching people, because the way it was years ago, sometimes you can't do that. And where I was working, we had lockers and things. They didn't have no locks on them. But what I would do, I'd put a track in a man's locker. You can't do that today. And if you do that, and he tells you, I don't want you to put that in my, no scriptural, no teaching or nothing in my locker, then you can't do that. Okay? Because some people don't want nothing to do with Bible and scriptural stuff and things of that nature. But then there's others do. Those others would tell you, yeah, give me all you got. But we just have to use some wisdom. But look at Colossians 4, 2, and 3. Colossians chapter 4, 2, and 3. As we look at these scriptures here, Colossians chapter 4, 2 and 3, as we look at opportunities. And we don't want to pass those opportunities by. Be ready and have some wisdom to know when the door is open and when to go in, when there's an opportunity. Colossians chapter 4 and 2. Let's see what he says here. Paul was writing to the brethren at Colossae. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. So he said, even pray for me that there'd be a door open, even though Paul was in chains, chained up like a slave, and he was chained up because of preaching the gospel and people didn't want to hear that. He said, pray for me and continue to pray for one another, as we know we should, that these opportunities, these doors will be open, that we may convert people. And that's what it's all about, converting people. Another scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's look at this one here. I won't keep you long this morning. What Paul writes to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. See what Paul says there? And we know for people to be saved, we're going to have to teach them. When there's an opportunity to teach, and it wouldn't hurt sometimes to just say, would you like to have a Bible study sometimes? They may say yes, and that'll be a good opportunity to teach some people. I have a person in mind that I'm going to just ask him, would you like to have a Bible study? They say no, then you can't make them. And if they say no, don't let that offend you. You know, they don't want it, they don't want it. Open doors can still be found. To recognize an opportunity, we must know what this is. To recognize that opportunity, we must know what it is. The word opportunity means having a good chance. That's what the word opportunity, it means having a good chance or having a set of favorable circumstances. That's what that means. Having a good chance or having a set of favorable circumstances. See, Paul recognized that he had an opportunity that he had had a set of favorable circumstances to preach the gospel. And when he had that opportunity, Paul, he preached the gospel. He preached the word. He taught people. I ain't going to stay too long with this. Paul wasn't married. And he had all the time that he used all his time in spreading the word. And nothing wrong with that, him being single. But, you know, most people want to be married, and that's good. But he wasn't married. So he didn't have, and of course we know the Bible says when one is married, he's got to take care of his family. One is married, he cares for the things that please his wife. I mean, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm not going to get into all of that. But a man that is single, he can put all his time in that work. When you marry, you're limited. And nothing wrong with being married. So we see here, as much as he was needed there in Corinth, he was needed in Corinth. He was going to delay his coming until he took advantage of the opportunity there at Ephesus. Took that advantage. Sometimes opportunities for that, they don't come back. And I'm thinking there's three things that never comes back. You shoot an arrow in the forest, it's gone, it won't come back. Opportunity to do good and a word spoken. So once we speak that word and you want to catch it, it's too late. So an opportunity to do good, a word spoken, and an arrow that you shoot in the forest, it's gone. So when there's opportunities, I remember when I went somewhere doing a meeting, sitting beside a person, I was talking about God, because there was an opportunity. If they turn you off, then don't just leave them alone. Well, sometimes people, they'll talk to you about God. So let's always try our best to look for opportunities to try to teach people. Try our best to teach people. The importance of opportunity can be seen in every walk of life. I do believe that. In every walk of life, businessmen have long told us the importance of acting when opportunity is there. Businessmen will tell you, right now, I'm just saying in general, right now, it's a good opportunity to do what you, whatever it might be. I know when the interest rate was what, 3%, something like that. That was maybe, I can't remember when it was 2%. Maybe you all can. But 3% was a good time, I thought, to buy a house if you get it on 3%. So these businessmen, they know on some of this, dealing with those situations about taking care of business, money. God, Jesus said they more wiser with money than we are. I guess because they study more on it. But businessmen have long told us the importance of acting when opportunity is there. Government and politics, we know political matters will illustrate this as well. And I'm not saying everybody that's in politics can help you. Some of them can't, but there are some that can help us. Christians are taught to take advantage of opportunity. We know Galatians 6 and 10, it says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Let us do good to all men, especially those in the household of faith. So if I seen two Christians walking down the road and a sinner was walking down the road, and I knew, you know, I knew the Christian, didn't really know the sinner, but, and I just had enough room for two people, then I'm going to pick up the Christians. Let us do good unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. Now, I still may tell the sinner, if you wait here, I'll come back and pick you up and take you, try to help you, if I know the person. If I didn't know him, whatever the case may be, but he is not a Christian, you take care of Christians first. And picking up people, I'm going to say be wise on that, because sometimes you try to be good, they do you in, they hurt you. So you got to watch that. Whip you and all that. You take your vehicle, and so just be careful. But it does say, let us do good, Galatians 6 and 10, unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. Some people slight opportunity. The Jews did. Look at Acts chapter 13 and 43. Acts 13 and 43. Let's look at this here. They slight opportunity. Acts chapter 13, 43. 13 and 43. Now when the congregation, maybe everybody find it there. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and the devout proselyte followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Make sure I'm at where I need to be. Acts 13. Okay, yeah, I'm where I need to be. And look at verse 44. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Now you won't find this much anymore. I mean, I don't know. I do not know of any place where the whole city came to hear the word of God. This was something here I thought was great. You won't find this today. I thought that was, isn't that wonderful? But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken to Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, That word bold means they were confident. It is necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. They didn't want it. And since the Jews here rejected the gospel, which is the good news, the gospel is good news, and they rejected it, and proved themselves unworthy by rejecting God's word, they judged themselves, really, unworthy of everlasting life. And so we have to be careful. And when we teach people and then they don't want it, there's nothing you can do about it. Another good point here, Acts 24 and 25. I had a neighbor one time, and we talked and had several little Bible studies, and we come find out he was unscripturally married. And of course we talked about that, and I asked him, you know, why did he leave his wife? And of course he told me he just got tired of it. I said, you can't do that. And let's look at, but I gave, by me talking to him, and I gave him that opportunity to make that right, but he didn't do it. Acts 24 and 20, and let's look at verse 24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And what happened here, Felix took another man's wife, is what he did, and married her, and didn't have no business doing that. He didn't have no business taking that man's wife. And I did a little research, but didn't get too deep in it. Drusilla, when she first got married, she was 14 years old. That's too young to get married. I would not advise anybody to get married at 14. And she married this man by the name of Emesa, something like that. And she was 14 years old. And what Felix did, he persuaded her to leave her husband and marry him. And Felix even got a magician to talk to her to persuade her to marry him. All right. And then we look at the opportunities. And if you would, look at verse 25. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control. See, if Felix had had self-control, he wouldn't have done that. So self-control is very important. And I know some Baptist preachers, I can say it, who's done been married. I know of two different situations where one fella been married twice and he don't have no business being married. Another one, he'd been married, I think, three times. And so that stuff happens. But here's Paul want to help Felix, and if he really cared about Drusilla, he'd get out of that situation. Say, he'd get out of that. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away, for now, when I have a convenient time, I will call for you." I've thought about this. Now, if Felix loved God, he would have gotten out of that. If he loved Drusilla, he would have gotten out of that. If he loved his own soul, he would have gotten out of that. But he had that opportunity, and he didn't use that opportunity. And as I was looking at some of this, Felix was living in sin with this beautiful woman, Drusilla, and Felix wouldn't change. He wouldn't repent. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, it tells us, whoever put away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery, and whoever marrieth her who is put away doth commit adultery. And I think Felix knew. I think he knew, but he didn't change. But there are those who have changed. I remember a preacher told me, I think Larry McDonald told me, that one man had, I don't know, sometimes people, maybe they don't know. They don't know. And when they find out the truth, Larry McDonald was saying that two people got married and come find out they were living in adultery, and what they did, they got out of that situation and bought two houses right beside each other, and he lived in one house, she lived in the other, they had kids, and they just worked it out that way. You're not going to find too many people going to do that. But Felix had the opportunity, but he didn't take advantage of the opportunity, and that's what we're talking about here. But there's another group, Agrippa. If you look at Agrippa is another example, Acts 26 and 27. Acts 26 and 27. Acts chapter 26 and 27. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. This is Acts 26 and 27 and 28. You almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Now, he did not say, you almost persuaded me, and I do still stay on top of this pretty well. He didn't say, you almost persuaded me to become a Methodist. He didn't say that. Agrippa knew Christian. He didn't say, you almost persuaded me, and I know a lot of preachers don't get on this anymore because they said, we have to stay on this. Even though people not going to convert them, but they still need to know. He didn't say, you almost persuaded me to be a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic. King Agrippa knew it's Christian. That if you obey the gospel, you're going to be a Christian. Call that group of people, those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. And that's what he said. You have almost persuaded me to become a Christian. And King Agrippa knew this. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And then verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. Once again, there he is, he chained up again. See, like the places he went, they chained him up because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. Such a pity. The opportunity was there for King Agrippa to obey. And almost is not enough. He should have went ahead and obey the gospel. And such a pity that people let the opportunity slip by. They let it slip by. Legion is the number who have slighted opportunity since then. There's a thousand multitude of people let the opportunity get away when they should go ahead and obey the gospel. So many of us who have heard the gospel have slighted the invitation. If you're out there listening, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today, give me a call. And we'll study with you. Sometimes people, they understand. Because I've talked to people, I said, do you understand? I understand all of that, Mr. Woods. One man said, I don't want to give up my weed. I said, you got to give it up. Anything that's wrong, we have to give it up before we baptize people. So many of us who have heard the gospel, people have heard it over and over, slighted the invitation. So many of us have had opportunities to try to teach or to serve and have seen the opportunity slip away. We are servants. We are to serve. We are to teach. We don't let them opportunities slip away. I have had them slip away. I'll just be honest with you. I've let opportunities, and then you leave. I should have said something. This guy's talking religious. He's talking about Bible, and I just let him talk, and I don't say that. Nah, I can't do that. Opportunity has a way of leaving those who are not interested. Opportunity has a way to leaving those who are just not interested. Remember the song I think we sing it sometimes. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet your God. And what we want to do, we want to be prepared to meet God. Because we don't never know, you know, how much time we have. And if you're out there, you're not a Christian, please call us. And 270-282-3706, give me a call. And I'll be glad to study with you. I would like to get some Bible studies with people. But a lot of people, they don't want it. But if you have that opportunity, take it. If you're out there, you're not a Christian, you've heard the gospel. Need to believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with him in baptism, and that'll put you in the church that's in the Bible. If you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make it right while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.